yeah, I mean, the Mahabharata is interesting. Here we are, and we are in Hastinapur, where the Kuru king now is, Dhritarashtra, is ruling. And the court here of the king, and we got Bhishma there, and we got Vidura, and I mean, this noble, strong, real, powerful, heroic leaders of the people in their country. Now, the thing is that this is in India, where that country, so to speak, where Hastinapur was the capital, is more like a county. I don't know what they call it today, but it's like maybe 300 kilometers diameter or radius or something like that. It's still today outlined like that, the Kuru kingdom. So, and there were several such kings in India ruling over different of those regions, which I think is interesting because they were really, I mean, they appear like that at least here, really kings with also big moral and ethical and whatever leadership responsibilities and expectations on them. And then, yeah, that's how India functioned back then. In other words, rather small. And I heard that a town or a city should not have more than like 50,000 residents. So if you think like that, the smaller regions, you could call country or whatever, kingdom, where the capital has 50,000 people, and the queen and king, in other words, you know, and the ministers around there, the wise people there, the advisors, I mean, the government, consisting then, because back then kings did not just inherit, princes did not just inherit from their father, so kings were selected from the most qualified people in that entire region or kingdom, who the wise and learned political experts also really could recommend and believe they were qualified. And those people, the wise and the learned, they remained there as advisors. I mean, we had the same here in Sweden. We had these Axel Oxenstierna, you know, these kind of people who were simply advisors of the king, but very, very important because they had great knowledge. So, I mean, and this all, not in a big country like Sweden, but in smaller, like a third or a fourth or something, just like we have landscapes more or less here in Sweden, one king of each landscape. And I think it was a little bit more like that also in Europe back then. Now, what makes me think here is the leaders we have today over sometimes empires like the big ones over in the West. We have persons sitting there who are like, yeah, emperors. I mean, very, very, very powerful over a very, very big area and many, many, many people. What qualifications are needed of such a person? But that person today is just a two-bit businessman has no training in statesmanship or anything like that. And advisors, which I don't know who they are, who knows? I mean, I actually think, because you see in Asia, there's still a little bit more of that. Like in China, the experts in the country, I mean, those who are really know what they're doing, they select the leaders from the most qualified. And I think it's the same in Russia, same in India. So it's still there. But just imagine if it was smaller regions like that. I actually do believe that this monarchy of the past and that on that level was a good and working functional system.